Well, if you got Job 23 there, let me just say a few things before we get into the reading of God's Word. Of course, most everyone in here, especially on a Wednesday night, you are probably familiar with the details of the book of Job. And I believe that most anyone, you would recognize that Job is a book that deals with suffering. Amen? I mean, Job, he suffered just about worse than any other sinner that walked the face of this earth up to this time included. Amen? He lost everything imaginable. And so one lesson we learn here in the book of Job is that the righteous will suffer. God's people will suffer. Amen? And by the way, the New Testament bears forth that fact as well when it said, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And yet, can I say that this book of the Bible is not only a book of suffering, it's also a book of redemption and a book of restoration. You see, because by the end of the book, Job is no longer suffering. He's no longer going through the trial. As a matter of fact, by the end of the book of Job, God has restored him tenfold what he took from him there in the first place, or what the devil took from him there in the first place. And so I believe not only does this book of the Bible teach us that God will allow his children to suffer in this life, I believe it also teaches us that ultimately, if you are a child of God, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a time of restoration. Amen. God's not going to let that account go unpaid. And if you've suffered, I believe Christian, God will pay it back again. Amen. One of these days, everything's going to be ironed out. Praise the Lord. But as we look at Job here in Job chapter 23, he's still going through the suffering. And he's seeking after the Lord. He's looking for answers just like you and I do when we're going through trials. And yet he has the same problem that you and I often have. He can't seem to find the Lord. He can't seem to hear from Him. He doesn't seem to be getting his prayer answered. And I want you to see what Job says here in chapter 23, beginning in verse number 1. As the Bible says, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for another chance to be in church on a Wednesday night. Lord, I know that the world thinks it's probably pretty crazy that your people would meet on a night like this. Lord, most of the professing Christians out there, Lord, they've found a lot of different things to do on these Wednesday nights. And Lord, we're not better than them. We're not any better than anybody, Lord. If it wasn't for your grace, if it wasn't for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd all be lost and on our way to devil's hell. And Lord, it's only by the grace of God that we stand tonight. But Lord, I do want to say how thankful I am to be able to still be having church on this Wednesday night. Lord, I'm thankful for those who came out to hear the Word of God preached, who came out to pray for one another. Lord, I pray you'd bless each and every one of them accordingly. Lord, help me now as I preach your Word. I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd give me the power of God. And Lord, I pray that through all of it, Jesus Christ would get the glory and the honor. Lord, help some Christian who's hurting tonight. Lord, comfort them and encourage them and raise them up out of that miry pit where they've arrived. And Lord, I pray you'd put them up there on the solid rock where they might rejoice and worship you once again. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all don't mind, but I'm already a little bit parched. I'm going to get me a drink before getting into the Word of God this evening. And so y'all can just sit there and watch me drink this real awkwardly like. Amen. Yeah, I ain't going to share. I'm sorry. They taught me in school to share, but I didn't listen. And all right. Don't worry, Eddie's probably done something to the water anyway. But you wouldn't want it. Amen. But I want to show you here in the text that this cry that Job has made in the passage we've just read is the same cry that the Lord has heard from the mouths of many a man throughout history. It is, in essence, a man asking a question. He's saying, "Lord, why are you being silent? Lord, why will you not seem to answer my prayer? A few weeks ago, as we were riding around in the car, I'm going to embarrass the boy a little bit tonight. We were riding around in the car and we got to talking about prayer, and Nate asked a very good question. He said, Dad, why is it when I pray, I don't hear God talk back to me? Now, you know something? That is a good question, amen? That is a question that if adults were as honest as kids, you'd be asking too. As a matter of fact, many of you sitting in here tonight, you've asked that same question, though you might be too proud to admit it, amen? Why does the Lord remain silent? Why does it seem that when I ask Him and I come to Him in prayer, sometimes I seem to go so long without getting an answer? Well, how a man answers that question, I believe, will have a lot to do with how that man winds up viewing the Lord. You see, when the atheist asks that question, he says, because the Lord is silent, He must not be there in the first place. He must not even be present. He must not even exist to be able to hear me. When the agnostic asks that question, why does the Lord remain silent? He says, well, because God is silent, He must not want us to know Him, or He must not want us to communicate with Him. When the skeptic lifts his voice and says, why is the Lord silent? Why does the Lord not answer me? He returns with the answer, because He is silent, He must not care about me, or He must not be able to speak with me. But can I say tonight that as a child of God, we realize that those are all the wrong answer, amen? They have all drawn the wrong conclusion by asking that question, why is the Lord silent? You see, you and I, though, as children of God, you and I, as those who've been saved by faith in the Lord Jesus, we know better, don't we? We know that the Lord is real. We know that He is there. We know that He desires to hear from His children, that He cares for us, and He does hear and answer prayer. And yet, why does He remain silent? Well, tonight I want to show you what the Bible has to say regarding the silence of God. And I'm not so interested tonight in why the Lord is silent. We can't always understand everything the Lord does. We can't always understand every motive that the Lord has. And so I'm not entirely interested in why the Lord is silent nearly as much as how we ought to react to His silence. And so tonight I want to preach to you on the subject of what to do when God is silent. What to do when God is silent. Now the first thing I want to mention to you tonight before we really get into the point is I want to say that we must first admit tonight that the Lord has been silent for some time. Amen? I mean, not one person in the past 2,000 years of human history has ever heard the voice of God, has ever heard the Lord audibly speak unto them. Amen? By the way, if you're sitting here tonight and you have heard the Lord talk, or you have been hearing voices, I want to make one thing real clear. That ain't the Lord talking to you. More often than not, it's probably some unclean spirit or some devil talking to you. But you might just need to go down to the mental ward and might need a little bit of medication to get you straightened out if you think you're hearing the voice of God. Because see, the Bible makes it very clear that in this dispensation, we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen? The Bible said faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. The truth of the matter is that if Jesus appeared before us tonight and we saw the nail prints in His hand and the nail prints in His feet, if we saw the piercing in His side, there would be no more room for faith, would there? I mean, you would see it. It would be sight. And I believe the very same thing goes for hearing God as well. You know, if the Lord called out from the heavens and He simply boomed out His voice where all of Knoxville, Tennessee heard Him say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, there wouldn't be much more room for faith. That would be evident. That would be sight. That would be hearing the voice of God. And yet I believe that during this dispensation, God allows us to go on not hearing His voice, not hearing His audible message, so that we will act in faith. I believe the Lord expects great faith out of His people. But you say, well, preacher, if the Lord has not spoken in these 2,000 years, if the Lord is not talking to us like He talked to those men in the Old Testament, then what are we to do regarding the silence of God. Well, I'm going to show you three things very quickly tonight. And the first thing I see is that when the Lord is silent, we should first remember His words. When He's silent, we need to remember that the Lord has already said a whole lot of things. Amen. Now, when Nate asked me the other night, he said, "Why doesn't God respond when I pray to Him?" I want to give you the first answer that I gave to him, and it's very simply this, that God is under no obligation to talk to us since He has already given us His words. You say, "Well, preacher, where are those words?" I'm holding them right here in my hand tonight, friend. Hey, friend, David said, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." He said, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." I want to make it real clear tonight that God has already put His words down. He's already given us the record. And this book that I hold in my hand, this King James Bible, is God's speech to mankind. You say, "I want to hear from God, preacher. I want to hear what the Lord is saying." I'll tell you where to find out what God is saying. You'll find it in the pages of the Scriptures. But I believe it's obvious that the Lord has spoken. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, a man was not operating by faith in the same sense that you and I are. And as a result of that, the Lord would often audibly speak to men. Amen. I mean, you go back there in the Old Testament and you'll find that God spoke to Adam face to face. Hey, God called out from the heavens as He spoke to Cain after he had slain his own brother. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Enoch. A little later on, the Lord spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. He spoke to Samuel there in the tabernacle. He spoke to Ezekiel there by the riverside. I'm saying to you tonight that God has spoken to men before. And so to sit here and say tonight, "Well, God is just unable to speak," that's the height of foolishness. We have a book right here that has never once been proven to be in error, that has never once been proven wrong, that says God spoke to men. And just because He hadn't spoken to you doesn't mean God doesn't speak. Amen. But not only did He speak to men, the Bible shows us that God spoke through men. Back there in the Old Testament, the Bible actually says, in the New Testament, it said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know what that tells me? Isaiah and Jeremiah and David and Job, right here in the book of Job, those men, they spake because God moved in them, because the Holy Spirit guided them, and they spoke forth the Word of God. In other words, God spoke through some men. Amen. He spoke through some prophets, and He spoke through some preachers here in the Word of God. And yet, can I tell you what amazes me even more than that? Even more than the fact that God would speak to a man and that God would speak through a man. I believe it's amazing tonight that God still speaks to us today, and He speaks through the pages of the Word of God. Hey, that Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In the very same way that God spoke through those men in the Old Testament, I believe God speaks to us today through the pages of the Bible. I'm telling you tonight, friend, God still speaks to His people. He speaks through the Word of God. Over there in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter got to recounting the time that he spent up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. And in that recounting, he got to talking about how he and how Peter and James and John, they went up there on the mountaintop. And when they got up there, they fell into a deep sleep. Y'all remember? But Peter said when he rose up from that sleep, when he opened up his eyes, he looked, and there standing before him was Jesus, glorified with all the glory of God on Him. I mean, looked like nothing he'd ever seen. There standing on one side of the Savior was Moses, and on the other side was Elijah. And about that time, Peter spoke up, and he said, "It's good for us to be here. Let us build us here a tabernacle. We'll build one for Elijah, and we'll build one for Moses, and we'll build one for Jesus," making them equal. Amen. But about that time, a great big loud voice came out of the heavens, and that voice cried out and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." It ain't about Moses. It ain't about Elijah. The Father said it's about the Son, and you need to hear him. Now, can I tell you what Peter was saying? He got to talking about that over there in 1 Peter chapter 2. And what? Or sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. And he got to talking about the fact that he was a witness. He literally heard the voice of God the Father with his own two ears. Now, some of y'all are about to think I'm getting blasphemous here in a moment. Some of y'all are going to think I'm being very sacrilegious. But all I'm doing is preaching the King James Bible to you tonight. Can I tell you what Peter had to say about it? He got to talking about hearing the voice of God. Did anybody in here not want to hear the voice of God? Wouldn't you enjoy hearing the voice of God? Well, can I tell you, about that time he turned his attention to this book, and this is what he said. He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." In other words, he said, reading the Bible is not simply just as good as hearing the voice of God. He said, in many ways, it is even more sure. It is even more secure. It is even greater than if we heard God's voice audibly in our ears. Can you imagine that? Peter, a man who heard the voice of God, he said, that book right there is just as good, if not better, than hearing God speak to you tonight. You say, "Preacher, the Lord isn't speaking anymore. I just can't seem to find Him. I can't seem to hear Him. What should I do?" I'll tell you what to do. Remember His words. Then I want to say secondly tonight, not only should we remember His words when the Lord is silent, but we should also continue in prayer. Over in Luke 18, I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm not even going to turn there. But over in Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells the parable of an unjust judge. And that unjust judge in the parable is meant to represent God. Now, can I make one thing real clear, though? God is not unjust. Amen? Hey, God loves to hear the prayers of His people, doesn't He? God loves to take care of His children, doesn't He? Amen. And yet you say, then why would He use an unjust judge to represent God the Father hearing prayer? Can I tell you why? Because from our perspective, now, from heaven's perspective, God is never unjust. Amen. But from our perspective, haven't you found the Lord to seem a little unjust from time to time? Listen, I'm not being blasphemous. I ain't saying He's unjust. I'm saying, hadn't there been maybe a time or two in your life where you got to praying about something and God said, "No." And you said, "Then I don't like You." Amen. Come on, maybe y'all more spiritual than I am. But I've had a few times where God didn't quite give me what I wanted. And I said, "Well, that's unjust. That ain't right. I deserve it. I've prayed. I've done what You told me to do." Y'all had never behaved like that. I've behaved like that a few times. I've been a downright just a brat in the sight of God Almighty from time to time. And that's what that unjust judge is meant to represent. It's from our perspective what we think the Lord is like sometimes. Amen. By the way, we're wrong. And yet in that parable, Jesus gets to telling about an old widow woman who needs the help of that judge. You see, she had an adversary. The Bible doesn't tell us what that adversary did. It doesn't even tell us who that adversary was. But it simply says that that adversary had afflicted that poor widow woman. And so that widow went to the house of that unjust judge. And the Bible said she knocked on his door. And she got to knocking on the door of that judge, and he leaned out. And he said, "Listen, it's late at night, ma'am, and I've got a lot of things on my plate, and I got to be up bright and early in the morning, and I don't have time to deal with all your mess. You go on." And so the woman went on. But she came back a little while later, and she got to knocking on that door of that unjust judge. And he listened to her, and he said, "Listen," he said, "I ain't got time for all your complaints. I'm a busy man, and I've got a lot going on, and you're just a little nobody. I don't have time to worry about it. You just go on." And so she left, but she came back a little while later, and she got to knocking on that door again. And the Bible said that after days and after weeks of knocking on that judge's door, that judge said, "Because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now Jesus looked at that thing and he told his disciples what the purpose of that parable was. He said it was meant to teach us a lesson. And that lesson is that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That tells me tonight, friend, that when you and I don't hear from God, when it looks like He slammed the door in our face, when it seems like He's being unjust, when it seems like He won't hear a word we have to say, just keep on praying. Keep on beseeching Him. Keep on taking your petition. Keep on knocking on that door. Don't stop praying. Continue in prayer when it doesn't seem that the Lord is hearing you, when it seems the Lord is silent. Hey, that's what Job did, friend. Hey, Job got down. I mean, he really got down in the dumps if you read the book of Job. And yet, can I tell you one thing Job was doing the whole time? He was saying, Lord, if you'll just hear me. Lord, if you'll just give me the answer. Lord, if you'll just tell me what's going on. God, I just need a little something to help me carry on. I just need a little something to encourage me. God, help me. He kept beseeching God all through his trial. Though it didn't seem the Lord heard him, he kept on praying. Now maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're sitting in here and you've got some lost child or some lost grandchild on their way to a devil's hell. You say, preacher, I've prayed for them. Preacher, I have done everything. I've tried to get them to church. I've tried to give the gospel to them. I've prayed for them and done everything in the world, and it just doesn't seem like it's done any good. Can I tell you what to do? You keep praying. And keep praying, and keep praying, and keep praying. You pray about that thing, and keep on praying about that thing until you get an answer. You say, but God is silent. Continue praying. Maybe you got some other problem. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, and maybe you got a health problem you're praying about. Maybe you got a financial problem you're praying about. Maybe you're sitting in here tonight, and I don't know, maybe it's a spiritual problem, something like that that you're praying about. Can I say it may seem like God doesn't hear? It may seem like He don't even care. It may seem that He is being entirely silent and blocking you out from His attention. And yet, can I tell you what to do if the Lord is silent? Continue praying. You say, what do I do, preacher? Well, if the Lord is silent, you ought to remember His words. When the Lord is silent, you ought to continue in prayer. But I want to say this, and I'll be done tonight. When the Lord is silent, you need to keep the faith. Amen. You need to keep the faith. I want you to look here in Job 23 at what Job had to say just a little while later in this same passage down in verse number 8. See, now up there in verse number 1 to 5, you know what Job is saying? Basically, in a nutshell, what Job is saying there, he's going, Lord, if you'd talk to me, I'd let you know what's going on in my heart. I would pour out my complaint to you. Lord, if you just communicate with me, if I could just hear from you again, I'll tell you exactly what's going on with me. But you know what else he said there in verse number 5? He said, I would hear you too. I'd listen to you. Lord, if you just talk to me. Lord, if you just quit being silent, I'd listen to what you have to say. I promise I would. I want you to notice what he says down about verse number 8, the conclusion that he comes to. He says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But, I want you to get this real clear tonight, Christian. But, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now that's faith, friend. That's real faith. The man just lost his children. Had his wife tuck tail and run on him. Had his friends preaching against him. I mean, putting his name up in the sword of the Lord, calling him a heretic and everything else. Amen. His own buddies. I mean, listen, lost his property, lost his holdings, lost his stocks and his bonds. I mean, stock market crashed right out from under him all in one day. That's somebody going through some pain, and yet that's a man of faith. Because you know what most people think faith is, and they're wrong? Most people think faith is, Lord, if you'll take care of it. If you'll stop the problem. if you'll make the pain go away, if you'll reveal yourself to me, then I'll trust you. Can I make one thing real clear? That is not faith. That's blackmail. God, I'll serve you. God, I'll do what you want me to do. God, I'll be true to you if you'll give me what I want. You know, I'll tell you what you are. You're blackmail. You're taking part in blackmail. You're a criminal. Criminal against God. That ain't faith. What Job said was faith. He came in there in the pain, in the hurt, in the trial. And can I just go ahead and tell you what he said? He said, Lord, I'm looking for you. I look forward, there you are, you're not there. I look to the back, you're not there. I look over to the side, you're not there. I look to the other side, and you're not there. But here's the conclusion I've come to. I don't know where you are, but you know where I am. Can I say to you tonight what a comfort that is to this preacher? That I may not always know what God is doing, and I may not always know what His plan is. I may not always know what His purpose is in my life, and I might not always be able to find Him, but He always knows where I am. He always knows what I'm going through. He always knows what He's doing, and I can trust in Him because He knows the path that I take. He knows where I'm going. That's what Job said. He said, Lord, I don't know where you're at. I can't see you anywhere. I can't hear you anywhere. But I know you hear me. And I know you see me. And I know in the end, it's going to be all right. So what's that? That's faith. Can I say something? When God is silent, keep your faith. Let me just say this. You may not know everything God's doing in your life. You don't know all His plans. But I would encourage you tonight, Christian, have faith in God. He knows what He's doing. He has it under control. He don't have to bat an eye. He don't have to even exert any energy. It doesn't take Him one amount of worry. He doesn't have one bead of sweat going down His brow. He's got it under control. And you can put your faith in Him. See, Job had faith that even if the Lord was silent now, even if the worst of the worst happened, he knew one day, by faith, he'd see the Lord and he'd hear from Him again. Let me have you turn back, and I'm done tonight. Turn back just a page or two to Job 19. Job chapter 19 and verse number 25. Give you a moment to get there. Job 19, 25. Job says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." You know what? Job couldn't see the Lord when he was going through it. He was praying. He was praying a lot harder than most any Baptist you ever met in your life. He was praying and seeking God and wanting to know what God was doing. He wanted to know the will of God for his life. And you know what God did? Not a word. Silent. And yet Job, through all that, he kept his faith in God. Say, preacher, what do I do when God is silent? I'll tell you what to do. Remember His words. He's spoken already, amen. Continue in prayer. Don't stop till you got an answer. But keep your faith. One way or another, whether by life or by death, God's going to take care of it all, amen. Lord, I love You. Thank You for loving me, allowing me to preach Your word tonight. Lord, bless now. I pray You'd encourage us, strengthen us in the faith. Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, so often we give up on You. So often we blackmail You in our prayer life. We do everything we can to, Lord, try to twist Your arm. Lord, that ain't it. That's not prayer and that's not faith. Lord, I pray, Father, that as we go through the days, Lord, where maybe You seem far away, maybe You seem silent, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here tonight. And Lord, we'll remember Your words. Lord, we'll continue to pray. Father, You'll help us to increase in faith and to keep our faith in You. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Tell you what, let's do. Take a little while.